theme of lesson number 4 is a lesson on our focus. Have you ever seen a picture that is out of focus? Now, I know they have these, I don't know what it's called, but these cool ways of doing pictures today where the background of the picture, it's kind of blurry, but the people that are in the picture or the whatever you're taking the picture of is clear. And maybe you know what I'm talking about. I have no idea what it's called. Maybe there's an official name for it, not sure. But you can tell, as soon as you look at a picture, you can tell if it's blurry or not. And in fact, we have a pretty high standard today because we have HD everything. And so we were looking at some old videos the other night. What do you do when you have some extra time? You go on the Anchor Baptist Church YouTube page and you look at old Anchor Baptist Church videos. I even forwarded a couple of you a couple of links of some of those old videos. You know what I noticed? The first thing I noticed, it wasn't the age of the people and how much they haven't changed. It was the quality of the recording. I mean, I am so spoiled in looking at this HD recordings and all of this, and then you go back and you look at a recording from, I think it was, 8 years ago or something like that, 2013, 12, somewhere in there. And it was good. And I'm not criticizing it, but boy, I tell you, you thought, well, maybe was there something wrong with the lens? And there was nothing wrong with the lens. It was just the way that it was back then. And you could probably think about all kinds of ways when you think of something that is out of focus and how much you look at it. And you know, man, I've got to get the right focus here so that we can have a clear picture. There's nothing different with that in the way we live our life. If my focus isn't right, I'm not going to have a clear picture of what God has for me. And by the way, I don't need to see, and you don't need to see, beyond right here and right now. You know, it's one day at a time, isn't it? I don't need to see the end of January. I don't need to see the end of February. I don't need to see later on in this year. No, I need to have the focus of today, that it be clear so that I know exactly what God has for me in this one 24-hour period of my life called today, which is already almost half over. But I need to have a focus one day at a time. And so that's just a little bit of introduction as we jump into this. Matthew chapter 14, if you have your Bible there, we're going to read there in just a minute. But what we've learned so far, here's what I can tell you we've learned so far. Being a disciple is an adventure. Would you not agree with me? I mean, looking at it through the lens, okay? Looking at it through the lens of Peter, it's an adventure, isn't it? I mean, from the very first beginning of Peter and Jesus saying, put your nets out on the other side, and they caught nothing, and without reviewing all of the lessons, I mean, and then all of a sudden the boat is almost pulled under the water because the amount of fish that are in that net that Jesus put in the net and allowed to go in that one net. And then all along the way and all the lessons that we've been learning, the summary so far is this: adventure. Adventure. And that's exactly what we're going to see in lesson number 4. Just before we get into this, what has happened before this event is that Jesus Christ has fed the 5,000. Now, it wasn't just 5,000. It was probably 5, 10, 15,000. Who knows how many were there? We don't know. 5,000 men. I don't think that means there wasn't anybody else there, personally. You may disagree. That's fine if you do. I just know this. Even if it was only 5,000, they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus fed everyone until they were filled up to here, and they even had 12 baskets left over. And so that's happened already leading into Matthew chapter 14. Notice it in verse number 22, and straightway, Jesus constrained. And that's a key word we're going to mention here in just a minute. His disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help me now as we consider this Bible event. Thank you for these events in the Bible that we can read over and over again and get more and more and more from them. Father, we don't need to hear from the pastor today. We need to hear from you. And I pray that you would empty me of myself and that you'd fill me with your Spirit and that I would say whatever you have for us to learn, and myself included, Lord, that I would be learning even while speaking. Father, that you would be glorified and that we would have a clear picture today, a clearer picture today of your will and your ways than we did before the day began. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one in our outline is the Lord's foresight. The Lord's foresight. As we said, Peter and the disciples had just witnessed an amazing miracle. You might say they were on a mountaintop. You understand what I mean by that? They were on a mountaintop. Unbelievable that they would have all those people filled up and everything left over. But now, and straightway, notice, immediately following the mountaintop, and straightway, it means immediately, okay? So right after this miraculous event takes place, Jesus has something, a plan for his disciples. Notice the word constrained, all right? What does the word constrained mean? It means to force by imposed stricture, restriction, or limitation. Another word for constrained would be the word compelled. Compelled. And it's mentioned like that in other places in the New Testament to translate it. In other words, this was not a casual request. It wasn't like this. Well, guys, if you want to get into the boat and if you want to go to the other side, you know, go ahead. No. Constraining means not necessarily pushing, but it was more of a strong, not suggestion, but almost a command. I want you to get into the boat now, and I want you to head to the other side. I'm going to disperse all the people. I want you to get into the boat, and I want you to go to the other side. Now, remember this. God does everything. Here's a statement of the day, possibly, and I've written it several places in my book here. God does everything on and with purpose. Would you write that down right now on your paper? Would you write that down on your heart for 2021? We're going to be strong in faith, but we got to remember this. God does everything on and with purpose. God was not sending them across the Sea of Galilee. God was not sending them across the water here just to burn time. Jesus was not sending the disciples across the Sea of Galilee just to have a cruise on a boat. Jesus, God, always does everything on and with purpose. And whether it's Peter and James and John in the sailboat, or whether it's you and me in 2021, we've got to be strong in faith, knowing that God is doing something today in my life on and with purpose. It isn't just to take up my day. It isn't just to stretch my faith. It isn't just to try me. No, there is something great and powerful coming at the end of it, because God always does everything on and with purpose. And it's our job, by faith, to discover, what is God doing? What is God teaching me? What is God trying to conform me to be? Well, more like the Master, right? That's what he's trying to make us, more like the Lord Jesus, into his image. Here we see, number one, the Lord's foresight. You know, he put them in a ship knowing what was coming. Now, we know what was coming because we've already read ahead in the story, right? We know that there's a storm a-coming, right? This is peppermint tea, all right? Just want to clarify that, all right? And so, we know that there's a storm coming. They didn't know a storm was coming. But God knew that a storm was coming. You know what this means? This means letter A. You know what? We're not going to get to letter A yet. Before I get to that, I thought this was, no, that doesn't go with what I'm heading to. Let's just stay with it, Turner, all right? You know what this means? God, on purpose, as remember, God always does everything on and with purpose. God, on purpose, sent the disciples into a boat headed to a storm. He saw it. He knew it was there, and yet he sent them there anyway. Did they see it? I don't think so. Did they know a storm was coming? I highly doubt it. That means that in your day and in your week and in your month, whatever it is, God is pushing you, and he's constraining you. He's compelling you. Don't fight the will of God. Don't fight what God wants you to do. It might mean there's a big old storm coming up. It might be a gully washer. It might be raining cats and dogs. It is right now. It might be the storm of your life. Don't fight the will of God. No, God has something on purpose and with purpose, and he's pushing you into that area, and he's pushing you into that situation for your good and for his glory, because God always does everything on and with purpose. Letter A, now we'll get there. He sent the multitudes away. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? In verse 22, he sent the multitudes away. Several times in the New Testament, we see Jesus doing miracles and then sending the multitudes away. In fact, in Mark 6:45, we won't turn there, the very same thing happens. He sends the multitudes, he sends the people away. There was an immediate need that had been met, and yet Jesus, remember, was concentrating on 12 men. Remember that? 12 disciples. He was concentrating on them. While he was meeting everyone's needs, he was discipling and training them, because there was going to come a time in 3 years' time where he was going to die on a cross. And by the way, thank God for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because even Jesus coming to the earth tells me God always does everything on and with purpose. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die on the cross of Calvary to forgive me of my sin, to forgive you of your sin, and give us eternal life in heaven. Do you know that you're going to heaven someday? Do you know that when you die, you will be in heaven? You might die in 2021. Whoa, what are you saying? I might die in 2021, but you know what? I'm not afraid of dying in 2021, because I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I will be in heaven the very moment that I die and leave this body. I will be in heaven with the Lord, and I will see him, and I will be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Oh, what a great reunion day that will be, with many friends and family that have gone on before me. Do you have that blessed hope today? You can only have it through the gospel. You can only have it. You cannot have it through the church. You cannot have it through the baptismal. You cannot have it through taking the Lord's Supper. You cannot have it through being a good man or a good woman. You're not. There is none good, no, not one, the Bible tells us. And so Jesus, though, he's already won these men to himself, and now he's trying to disciple them and prepare them for a ministry of preaching the gospel. So why send the multitudes away? Because, again, he's trying to focus and put his effort into these 12 men and teaching them and getting them ready for the future, because there was going to come a day when Jesus was not going to be around. You know what? I'm not in alluding to me or Pastor Nathan or anyone of pastoral type to be Jesus, but it is very vital that we as leaders, that we invest in the next generation. Because there is going to come a time when I'm not going to be alive. I'm going to be in heaven. And sure, the Lord's chariot is coming. We want this gospel to continue to go forth into the next generation and the next generation. And we want to invest in you, and we want to pour our lives into you. It is not our life. It is the life that Jesus Christ has given us that we want to give to you. And it's a prayer that God laid on my heart this morning, just praying anew and afresh for the children and the teenagers of Anchor Baptist Church. Would you join me in praying for that, that God would enable us to invest in the next generation? As necessary as ministry is to others, it is equally important to set aside time to be alone with the Lord. Set aside time to be alone with the Lord. This way we are strengthened for whatever God has for us. Well, the disciples were aboard a ship. They were obeying the command of the Lord, but they were soon to learn something, that it doesn't always bring calm sailing even when we obey the Lord. Letter B, he sent the disciples into the storm, verse 22. And Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. One of the hardest things for us as believers to understand is this. We can be in the center of the will of God and be in the center of a storm. We can be exactly where God wants us to be, and everything around us can be falling apart. Remember, when God pushes us into something, when the Lord Jesus, through his Spirit, leads us into a direction, and he knows what's coming. And remember this, he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And so we can trust him all the way we can trust him. There's a great hymn in our hymn book that Isaac Watts wrote it, and it's called, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Am I a Soldier of the Cross? The lyrics, "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God?" 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you," 1 Peter 4:12. "But rejoice," in verse 13, "inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now, I can smile right now reading that. It might not be the same if I'm in this boat and all of a sudden this storm's coming and the disciples are, why did Jesus send us into the middle of a storm? Because God always does everything on and with purpose. And that was definitely the case for the disciples. Let's move ahead. Number one, the Lord's foresight. Number two, Peter's focus. Look at verse 28. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship," can you imagine this? "He walked on the water." That still is an amazing statement to read. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Peter's focused. I can guarantee you this to be the case of each and every one of our lives. We all have a focus. Every one of us. You're focused on something. I'm focused on something. This is what consumes us. I don't know who said it, but what consumes my mind controls my life. The author is unknown in the book here. What is your focus today? What is the focus of your day? When you get up in the morning, what are you focusing on? And there are obviously numerous things that we have to focus on, but we've got to have the supreme focus of every day that God gives us is that we want to be in the will of God. We want God to be preeminent in our life. We want His will to be my focus, and everything else is subservient to the will of God. But I'll tell you, it doesn't matter if you are 5 years old, you've got a focus. I'll tell you what your focus is right now. Lunch. I'm 47. You know what mine is? Lunch. Okay? And so I'm kidding about that. But we're focused on things, and things distract us from time to time. And they, what do? Change our focus. But everybody's focusing on something. Everybody's focusing on a problem, possibly, or a difficulty, or a pay raise, or a health problem. There are things that come into our life, and we think about them. Therefore, they are part of or become our focus. You remember what the Bible says in Matthew 6? It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So that's where my focus is. Wherever my treasure is. It could be a sport. It could be a hobby. It could be an occupation. There is all kinds of things that are grabbing for your and my focus. Pay attention. Pay attention. That's what the world's saying. We want your focus. The salesman is saying, pay attention, pay attention. I've got a better deal than that person does. Focus on me. The advertisements on the television, the advertisements here and the advertisements there. Hey, look over here. This is the best deal of the century. I've seen the best deal of the century 100 times. What are you talking about? The point is, everybody and everything is grabbing and wanting our attention. But it is vital through all of, by the way, there's not necessarily something sinful about somebody trying to sell their product. I'm not saying that. But with all of this that's going on around us, it is important, it is vital that we make sure that our primary focus is not what I want. It is not what the world wants. It is definitely not what the enemy wants. It is what God has for me. That's got to be my focus. Would you quickly turn with me to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And there's something beautiful within these verses of Scripture. I'm sure you've read it before, but it really grabbed my attention when I read it once again. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's a verse that we've maybe heard over and over again. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep reading though. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's exactly what got who? Remember? If you read their beginning of Genesis, you read already this week that Eve, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it got Eve right away, right there, and Adam too. Is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Now, here's something that helped me. And the world passeth away. Keep in mind, everything that Satan, everything that the flesh wants you to focus on is passing away. It doesn't matter if it's a 2021 Corvette, it's going to pass away. It doesn't matter if it's a brand new home. I'm not saying there's something wrong with these things, but if they're the focus, then it is a problem. Why? Because they're going to pass away. It can be whatever. It could even be, and I don't mean to be unkind, but it could even be a relationship. And in the sense of a relationship with someone who's not saved, especially, I mean, be careful, because you're not going to spend eternity with an unsaved person. And yes, we need to be salt and light, and that's another message, but the point is this. The Bible says, but he that doeth the will of God, this is what encouraged me, abideth forever. You see, that's got to be my focus. My focus can't be the world, the flesh, the devil. My focus can't be, oh, I need this, or we need this, or Anchor Baptist needs this. You know what we need? We need a revival of the will of God that would be our focus in 2021. That we are strong in faith, giving God the glory, and that we live every day with the will of God as our focus. I hope that's your focus. I hope that's my focus. I'll tell you what, though. There's so much competing for my focus. It's yours, too. And again, they're not necessarily sinful things, but they're trying to distract many times. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Well, God wants to guide us with his eyes. If we do not seek the face of God, we will not see the eyes of God. Remember that hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely what? Dim. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means to me. They'll be out of focus. I want the things of the world to be out of focus. And I want the things of God to be in focus. I want the things that pass away to be out of focus. And I want the things that are eternal to be in focus. By the way, it just doesn't happen by getting up and saying you want it. You've got to seek the Lord to help you with this. You've got to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. And I've got to do the same. I'm not saying you. We've got to do that. Jesus is our perfect example. He was focused on what his Father wanted. Hebrews chapter number 2, 12. The Bible says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's skip down to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Letter A. We must quickly move on now. Letter A. Peter, he focused on the Lord. Now, I don't know what was going through their mind, but I guarantee it would be, we're going down. The ship's going to be destroyed. This is it. I mean, the feeding of the 5,000+ was probably a distant memory in the middle of the storm. They weren't focused on the miracle they just witnessed at. I guarantee you, they were focused on their skin is going down, and we're just, this is it, this is it. Maybe for a moment, they would even have thought, why did Jesus send us here? Why did Jesus put us in this place? These were fishermen. These were experienced sailors, but this was an unbelievable storm. And I love what the Bible says in John 14, 27, and we've heard it in recent days. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can you picture this? All of a sudden, there's something, they don't know exactly what it is. The Bible says in verse number 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Look, and when the disciples saw him, now this was the same person that had just performed the miracle. Obviously, it's the middle of a storm. And I must take from this that their focus wasn't right for whatever reason. I'm not being ultra critical because I probably would have done the same thing. It said they were troubled. It is a spirit. And notice, they cried out for fear. As soon as Jesus spoke up, praise God for the voice of God. And I don't believe in necessarily hearing the voice of God audibly today, but I do hear the voice of God. Whenever we open the Word of God, we hear the voice of God speak to us in a personal way. And oh, how many times we have read, not necessarily Matthew 14, 27, but we've read other places, but the message was loud and clear, be of good cheer, be not afraid. I'm God. I'm in control of the situation. Continue to focus on me. And as soon as Jesus spoke, Peter knew it was the Lord. He was focused on the Lord. And the Bible says that he just said, Lord, if it's you, have me to come out of the water. And Jesus and Peter, realized that he was safer with Jesus than in the boat. And by the way, we're always safer with Jesus than wherever we think we need to be. Be with Jesus, there's safety in the boat. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be conflict. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be struggle. I received a book from, I think it was both of my daughters gave it to me, or maybe one, sorry daughters, I can't remember. But they gave me a book, and in that book, it's story after story after story of martyrs. And I've started to read it. I've started to read it, and oh my souls, I've never heard some of these people, and I've kind of looked up even on online to find out more information, and one of the stories was about a young lady who did not want to deny the Word of God, and that was the gist of the story. I can't tell the whole story, but they said, okay, if you're not, I know what it was. They were in a room, and they told the people, I don't even remember what country it was in, you can leave if you spit on the Bible. And so many people were coming by, and God forgive me, and they would spit on the Bible. And this young maid came by and wiped the spit off the Bible. He said, God forgive them for that. And they took note of that, and they said, oh, are you not going to spit on the Bible? No, I'm not going to spit on the Bible. And again, to fast forward ahead, they built a brick structure around this lady. One by one, they built a brick structure around her. They said, will you deny that Bible? Will you deny the Lord? No, no. Basically, they got all the way down to one brick left. They encased her in a brick structure. No, I will not deny the Lord. The story tells they put that last brick in. She would die a death, a slow death, I would think. Because she would not, by the way, though, she was right where God wanted her to be. She was doing what God wanted her to do. What a beautiful story of that, of the power that God can give us even in the midst of a trying time like that. And oh, that we might have more maids like that and more men of God and women of God like that with the right focus will lead to the great faith to be able to stand for him, and having done all to stand. He focused on the Lord. Let her be. He focused on the wind and the waves. Oh, this is where I am at in my life sometimes after a tremendous step of faith to leave the security of the ship. All of a sudden, Peter underwent an unfortunate change of focus. By the way, it is very easy to look at the surroundings of life. Don't jump on Peter. He got out of the boat. Most of us probably wouldn't even have done that. Very easy to start looking around and taking our eyes off the Lord. He was looking on his surroundings. He began to sink. We know the story. I was thinking about Joseph, the Joseph in the Old Testament, and all that Joseph went through, the storms that Joseph went through. Joseph suffered as a son. Joseph suffered as a servant. Joseph suffered as a prisoner. But here's the deal. God was at work in every place that Joseph was, because God always does everything on and with purpose. And I mean, the end of Joseph was delivering the people from the famine. Why? God had a purpose. All the parts of Joseph's life were there, not just to take him through difficulties, because there was an end result. There was an end result for this too. By the way, he is at work in your life today. Hey, Pastor Turner, I'm not Joseph, I'm not Peter, but you're you. And if you're a child of the King, God has something that he wants to do in and through you for his glory. And he is working. Keep your focus on him, not the surroundings. Lastly, number three, we see the disciples' faith. The disciples' faith. Peter had first stepped out in faith, and then he had floundered and misplaced focus. Now we see that he again, Peter, places his faith on and his faith in the one person who has the power to rescue him from this peril. And it was just a very simple, simple request. Lord, save me. That's how simple it is. Today, maybe you need to be saved, not from your sin, but you're in the midst of a difficult time and you need God to pull you up. Lord, save me. Do we recognize that he is the only one who can help us? The Bible says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to trials? What shall we then say to difficulties? What shall we then say to 2020? That's what I say to it. No, what can we then say to a new year if God be for us? And he is. What can be and who can be against us? Nothing. We can be strong in faith, keeping our eyes on the Lord, keeping our focus on him. Letter A, what happened? Peter was rescued. Jesus didn't say, try again, say it a little bit louder. No. Immediately, the Bible says in verse number 31, and immediately. Don't get the idea that God's sitting up in heaven, just waiting for you to grovel in your pain and grovel in your suffering. No, he just wants us to remember once again, he's doing it on and with purpose and who he is. He's a loving God. He's almighty and all-powerful God. Peter was rescued. All that was necessary to have Jesus' saving hand was simply to ask for help. How about you? How about that verse that says, my help cometh from the Lord, amen, which made heaven and earth. How about Psalm 34:6? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Oh, here it is. Peter's in a 911 moment, and he says, Lord, save me. Praise God for the 911 prayers. But how about this? I think we need to get back to more of the 33:3 prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty. You know what I'm talking about? I'm saying, not just wait till the 911 times of life. We need to be Christians, men and women of God, teenagers, young people that are calling on God every day. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, every day, ask God to supply your daily bread. Ask God to take care of you. Why? Because God is faithful. Don't focus on your employer, focus on God to supply them. We've learned that. I've learned that. I'm still learning that. Hope you're learning that. It's a journey, isn't it? Peter was rescued. But then letter B, the disciples were relieved. The disciples were relieved. The moment Jesus entered the boat, what happened? The storm ended. In fact, the gospel according to John of the same miracle says that immediately they were at the shore. That must have been pretty neat. You talk about a high-powered motor on the boat. The presence of the Lord changed absolutely everything. By the way, that's all we need. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Really? That really should be our testimony. Because the presence of the Lord changes everything. Maybe God is going to do a work in your heart in 2021. and he's going to have you surrender to the will of God for your life, in that whatever God has for you, whatever the will of God is for your life, that's what you want. If you've never done that, it doesn't matter if you're 47 and old like me, or if you're 7 years old, we ought to be willing to surrender our will, the plan for our life, to God. God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want to do. Whatever career, whatever that is, I want your will, God. I want you to be with me, and I want to follow your plan. And let her see, the disciples were reverent. Look at verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and what? Worshipped him. As far as I know, this is the first time in the Gospels where it says the disciples worshipped him. They loved, of course, they respected him. But this must have been some kind of a defining moment, because the Bible now says they worship. We know that word worship to mean giving worth to, giving, paying homage to, doing reverence to, adore. There was a genuine fervency as the disciples bowed to their Lord and Master. Focus. A lesson on focus. And there's so much more that I'm going to have to skip here to the end. This was one day, think about it, this was one day in Peter's life. Now remember, the whole lesson theme is discipleship. God is preparing us for something. God is preparing you. God is preparing me. God was preparing Peter for something. Now we kind of know part of what God was preparing, what Jesus Christ was preparing him for, because we've been studying the book of Acts. But he didn't know about the book of Acts yet. You know, feeding the 5,000, the miraculous provision of. Hey, you can't provide and I can't provide like Almighty God. There's no one who can provide like God. You know what? We've learned that over and over in the 20 years of Anchor Baptist Church. If the Lord tarries, we'll celebrate 20 years in June of this year. To God's glory, every year he is miraculously provided. Can I just again praise the Lord for the end of 2020 and the prayer request of the general fund need? God provided over and above by several thousand dollars over the goal. To God be the glory. What's God preparing us for? I don't know, but he's letting us know once again, I'm going to take care of it. And we should trust him, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God, the part of discipleship, it's an adventure, it's a challenge, it's a struggle, but it's not just for the moment. He's doing something for the future, because he always does everything. On and with us. It's time that we do a little refocusing. Make sure that the things around us that are temporary are dim. And his